can listen to us on voinet.id, RE Digital, and shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week. It presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. President Prabowo's special envoy conveys the president's sense of loss over the death of Pope Francis. Nora has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto sent four special envoys representing Indonesia to attend the funeral of the highest leader of the Catholic Church in the world, Pope Francis. Prabowo's four envoys are the seventh President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, Minister of Human Rights, Natalius Pigai, Deputy Minister of Finance, Thomas Aquinas Juwandono, and Chairman of the Committee for Welcoming Pope Francis in Indonesia in 2024, Ignatius Jonan. The seventh President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, from St. Peter Square's Vatican, to a post on his personal Instagram account Sunday, conveyed President Prabowo's message and sense of loss for the death of Pope Francis, who was a role model in providing a legacy of love, for world peace, and a legacy of humility. He also expressed his deep condolences for the death of the most holy Pope Francis.
Dan juga menyampaikan pesan dari Presiden Prabowo Subianto serta seluruh.
And also convey the message from President Prabowo Subianto and all Catholics who attended the funeral at the Vatican, because we have lost a role model who gave a legacy of love for world peace, then a legacy of humility, and also a legacy for all nations in this world.
Perdamaian dunia, kemudian warisan atas kerendahan hati, dan juga warisan untuk seluruh bangsa-bangsa di dunia ini.
Joko Widodo, along with other special presidential envoys, also prayed that the most holy Pope Francis rest in eternal peace and may his soul be accepted in the bosom of the Almighty God. The special envoy of the Indonesian president was one of around 170 delegates from countries and international organizations who attended the funeral mass of Pope Francis. Those present included US President Donald Trump, Prince William of England, and the King and Queen of Spain, as well as from the Kingdom of Belgium, Sweden, Norway, and Monaco. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti says that vocational high school curriculum must be adaptive to market changes. Here is the detail by Dora.
Indonesian Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti said that vocational high school, with whatever the name of their expertise program, must be market-oriented. This was stated by Abdul Muti at the launch of the 1,000 Vocational High School Sales Students Upgrading Program in Jakarta Monday. Abdul Muti said that the vocational high school curriculum must be adaptive to market changes. He said there should be no eternal curriculum, because the market changes rapidly, especially with digital technology.
The vocational school curriculum can be open and closed. There should not be a permanent one that is always the same, because the market changes very quickly, and we feel that it, especially with digital technology we mentioned earlier about e-commerce, for example.
E-commerce, misalnya.
Abdul Muti further said that in this South Vocational High School, in addition to paying attention to the material on product delivery, there must also be the ability to understand market changes and basic studies on social behavior, because today society wants something new and to move up a class. He also hopes that this vocational high school can be more transformative and produce graduates who are not only ready to enter the workforce, but can also advance their companies. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Deputy Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Veronica Pan, highlights the role of Indonesia share space in supporting the creation of child-friendly cities across the country. Ofra has the details.
Indonesia Deputy Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection of the Republic of Indonesia, Veronica Tan, emphasized the importance of strengthening the role of Ruang Bersama Indonesia, or Indonesia Shared Space, in supporting the achievement of child-friendly cities across all districts and cities in Indonesia. She delivered this statement during the coordination meeting for the development of Ruang Bersama Indonesia, or Indonesia Shared Space, on Monday. Veronica explained that Indonesia Shared Space is the strategic platform aimed at educating families, women, and children by providing space for activities focused on violence prevention and the protection of children's rights.
Ruang Bersama Indonesia.
Ruang Bersama Indonesia, or Indonesia Shared Space, is actually our main reference. Its only goal is to meet the indicators of child-friendly city in every district. Our mission is to support family planning, educate families, empower women, and nurture children by first providing a platform open for children and women so that all activities that help prevention efforts have a home. Today we stand together under Ruang Bersama Indonesia with the goal of making every city of child-friendly city.
Furthermore, Veronica emphasized that the development of Indonesia Shared Space is not just about providing a physical space, but also about creating a space where women and children can express themselves, participate, and be empowered at the local community level. With Indonesia Shared Space, the government hopes to strengthen local communities to become agents of change in building safe, inclusive, and supportive environments for the growth and development of Indonesian children.
The National Observer from Pajajaran University, Teuku Rezasyah, says the BRICS foreign ministers meeting in Rio de Janeiro will serve a good opportunity for Indonesia to deliver ideas on reforming multilateralism to maintain peace. Here is the detail by Andy Romani.
International Observer Teuku Rezasyah Monday said BRICS foreign ministers meeting is an opportunity for Indonesia to push the idea of reforming multilateralism. According to him, BRICS has an important role in the United Nations to push changes to the multilateralism system that can contribute to maintain peace. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono attended Indonesia's first FMM BRICS in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil on 28 to 29 April 2025. In the VoiTalk program, a dialogue with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Teuku Rezasyah said that Indonesia could use BRICS as a vehicle to empower the United Nations.
I think this would be the venue for Indonesia to introduce ideas, because at the moment, the world peace and cooperation is shrinking. For example, Indonesia may produce ideas to reform the United Nations at the moment, because the world is experiencing greater instabilities, for example, in the areas of peace and security, especially in Middle East and East Europe. And then in this case, the world is also experiencing recession, which is resembled to the 1930s era, which is close to the World War situation. I think Indonesia will use BRICS as a vehicle to empower the United Nations in the future.
Furthermore, Teuku Rezasyah said that the UN Security Council, with its five permanent members, namely the United States, France, England, Russia, and China, does not fully represent world civilization. According to him, there are many civilizations in the world that can also contribute to efforts to create peace.
For example, US, France, UK, Russia, they are representing the Judeo-Greco-Roman, and China is representing the Mandarin civilization. I think Indonesia will propose in the future, soon after it finds itself stronger inside BRICS, I think we may introduce new criteria for the world civilization, for example, Islamic civilization and Hindu civilization, and also a population criteria, and then development criteria, and also criteria in maintaining global peace via peacekeeping, peacemaking, and peacebuilding. I think this think BRICS is working very hard, and at the moment, with Indonesia inside in BRICS is in its, well, let me call it a stabilizing level.
Tengku Reza Shah is optimistic that even though the BRICS meeting is a ministerial level, BRICS will strive to create stability in its global competition.
Participating in the BRICS foreign ministers meeting, Indonesia will bring benefit for the country.
International observer Tengku Reza Shah said that Indonesia's participation for the first time in the FMM BRICS will bring benefits to Indonesia. According to him, one of the messages Indonesia conveyed when joining BRICS was to bring positive results from BRICS and share them with developing countries. It was stated in the VoIP program, a dialogue with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday.
It was when Indonesia joined BRICS, one of the key statements was Indonesia will utilize its positive results from BRICS and share it to the developing countries. I think in this case, meeting with BRICS members will solidify Indonesia's current position, not only in dealing with the US, but also in dealing with other developed countries.
Furthermore, Tengku Reza Shah said that the participation of Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono in the FMM BRICS in Brazil will also be utilized by BRICS countries to introduce various cooperation projects within BRICS. According to him, this advantage can also be utilized by Indonesia to encourage national development programs, especially in the sectors of energy transition, food security, and technology transfer.
Indonesia and Russia discussed trade and agriculture cooperation to find new opportunities. Ranoff has the details.
The Indonesian and Russia government continue to seek new opportunities for cooperation between the two countries, especially in the field of trade and agriculture. Russia Ambassador to Indonesia Sergei Turchynov said on Monday that Russia plans to expand its export of food products to the Indonesian market. He believes this effort supports Indonesian goals to strengthen national food security and to promote the free meals program.
I believe so it will open for some Russian companies the possibility to bring more agriculture and food products to Indonesian markets. For Russia, we export to Indonesia a lot of grains and wheat grain.
Although he sees great potential for cooperation, the Russian ambassador highlighted the major challenge in bilateral trade, including the difficulty in completing financial transactions. This problem is caused by unilateral sanctions from Western countries against major Russian banks. He explained that the situation makes it hard to send money across countries, including to Indonesia, and emphasized the effort to find a solution are still ongoing. Russia hopes that through stronger cooperation, these financial barriers can be overcome so that trade relations between the two countries can grow even further.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto approved the formation of several task forces as a follow-up to Indonesia's negotiations with the United States regarding tariff policies.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto approved the formation of several task forces as a follow-up to Indonesia's negotiations with the United States regarding tariff policies. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto Monday in Jakarta said that the formation of the task forces includes a task force for investment, negotiations, mitigation of layoffs, and policy deregulation.
Tadi Bapak Presiden sudah menyetujui ada tiga satgas yang dibentuk.
The President approved the formation of three task forces, first to follow up on investment negotiations, namely the task force for investment, trade negotiations, and economic security, and this has been approved by the President. The second task force that is related to expanding employment opportunities and mitigating layoffs, and the third task force on policy deregulation. The other is related to the task force for improving the investment climate and accelerating business licensing. With this task force and negotiations, it is hoped that Indonesia can be in a position to accelerate negotiations with the United States. Furthermore, Erlangga, who is also the head of the Indonesian negotiation team to the United States, said that Indonesia has offered a solution that benefits both countries and does not differentiate one country from another. According to him, the solution that Indonesia offers to the United States is a step that is being taken domestically, starting from mitigating layoffs to deregulation.
Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Saiful Yusuf has called on universities to participate in the People's School program, which will be launched in the new academic year. Ranoff has the detail.
In the Kurumpun Group discussion at Padang State University, West Sumatra on Monday night, April 28, Social Affairs Minister Saiful Yusuf asked universities to contribute to the implementation of the People's School program set to start in the new academic year this July. Universities are expected to help by improving the quality of teachers, providing mentors, and offering facilities to be used as school. Saiful mentioned that Padang State University is the third university ready to operate with the Ministry of Social Affairs after Surabaya State University and the State Islamic University of North Sumatra. Meanwhile, surveys are still being conducted at 80 other universities.
While there are 80 more universities which are being screened now, one of them will be UMT, which will be screened by the Ministry of Public Works. If they meet the requirements, they will be included in the second batch of learning this year. The learning will start gathering in July, August, so this is still in the planning stage.
Responding to the program, West Sumatra Deputy Governor Fasco Ruseini stated that the provincial government is ready to support the People's School program so it can be fully utilized by the community.
We have submitted several proposals to the central government. It's up to you, sir, to decide which proposals are more important and most needed for West Sumatra.
So, Kajang Sea will be the first area in West Sumatra to carry out the initial phase of the People's School program, starting with the 50 students who have passed the selection process. The students will be divided into the two learning groups.
You are still listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Indonesia is setting its sights on becoming a leading global producer of halal products, as highlighted during the kickoff of the Halal Indo International Industry Expo 2025 in Jakarta. Ofra has the detail.
The Ministry of Industry is aiming for Indonesia to become a leading global producer of halal products. This was conveyed by Deputy Minister of Industry, Faisal Riza, during the kickoff of the Halal Indo International Industry Expo 2025 in Jakarta on Monday. He said that this opportunity must be used by Indonesia to improve literacy and encourage the halal industry to better prepare itself. With these efforts, Indonesia is expected to become not only the country with the largest Muslim population, but also the main destination and producer of halal products in the world.
Terus kita tingkatkan literasi kita, industri yang terkait dengan sektor.
We must improve our literacy, so industries related to the sector yang kita demikian.
Tentu saja.
Of course, this obligation should not be seen as a burden, but should be faced as a challenge and opportunity, so that our industry can grow even stronger in the future. We can make Indonesia one of the countries, or even the only country, with the largest Muslim population in the world, and become a leading destination and producer of halal products globally.
On this occasion, Deputy Minister Faisal also stated that the organization of this event is expected to attract greater attention, secure stronger business commitments, and achieve higher transactions values. The kickoff of Halal Indo 2025 is also expected to be Indonesia.
The financial services authority highlights the crucial role of artificial intelligence in driving digital transformation and financial inclusion across Indonesia's banking sector. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian banks continue to show their commitment to supporting digital transformations in order to improve service quality for the public. This transformation is expected not only to enhance access to financial services, but also to drive inclusive national economy growth through the use of artificial intelligence. Mia Indonara, Chief Executive of Banking Supervision and member of the Board of Commissioners of the Financial Services Authority, emphasized this during the launch of the Indonesian Banking Artificial Intelligence Governance Health on Tuesday in Jakarta.
Indonesian banks continue to show their commitment to supporting digital transformation in order to improve service quality for the public.
Furthermore, they stated that this hope must be accompanied by a concrete understanding. It was emphasized that the integrations of artificial intelligence into bank operations should be seen not just as a technological transformation, but also as a structural transformation of organizational culture and mindset. Therefore, a strategic framework and innovative culture and serious attention to ethical and sustainability aspects are needed.
Indonesia and Pakistan praise 75 years of bilateral relations in Pakistan anniversary celebration. Amasiti has the details.
Chancellor Duffy of the Embassy of Pakistan in Indonesia, Roshan Lal, welcomed the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Pakistan, acknowledging the long-standing history between the two nations. In his remarks at the anniversary reception held in Jakarta on Monday, April 28th, Roshan Lal reaffirmed Pakistan's commitment to continued cooperation with Indonesia, in pursuit of a shared future.
Our founding fathers, Raja Samudra Jana and President Sukarno, were pioneers in their nation's quest for freedom, laying the groundwork for enduring friendship and cooperation between our two countries. Over the decades, this bond has grown stronger through collaboration in trade, education, defense, culture, and people-to-people contacts. We deeply value Indonesia's continued support and we remain committed to building on our historical friendship for a shared future.
Roshan Lal cited several examples reflecting the strength of Indonesia and Pakistan relations, including the Preferential Trade Agreement, or PTA, now valued at $4 billion, and both nations' participation in joint military exercises held in both countries. He further announced his embassy plans to organize a Pakistan-themed exhibition in Jakarta this August. Meanwhile, representing the Indonesian government, Minister of State Budi Santoso praised the bilateral ties, describing them as consistently strengthened through constructive partnership. In his speech, Budi recognized Pakistan as one of Indonesia's key trading partners.
I am also pleased to note that Pakistan has emerged as one of Indonesia's key trading partners in the South Asian region, with bilateral trade recording a positive trend of 7.92% over the past 5 years, with key sectors such as palm oil, textile, machinery, pharmaceutical, and halal food products.
According to Budi, there remains vast potential for trade and collaboration between the two countries, particularly in agriculture, Islamic finance, digital innovation, and sustainable trade. He expressed confidence that through mutual respect and cooperation, Indonesia and Pakistan will continue to contribute meaningfully to regional and global growth, stability, and prosperity. The diplomatic reception also featured traditional Pakistani clothing, music, and dance performances, showcasing Pakistan's cultural diversity. Amasiti Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
Ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to Indonesia, Timor-Leste, and ASEAN, Mark Gerritsen, on Tuesday confirmed his readiness to continue cooperation in returning Indonesian artifacts from the Netherlands.
Ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to Indonesia, Timor-Leste, and ASEAN, Mark Gerritsen, Tuesday confirmed his readiness to continue cooperation in returning Indonesian artifacts from the Netherlands. In the VoIP program with Early Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, he appreciated the cooperation carried out by the ministries of culture of the two countries to repatriate the original Indonesian artifacts. He also ensured that the Netherlands will continue to cooperate in returning the artifacts if needed.
Really happy with the cooperation we have with Indonesia in this field. Ministry of Culture and our Ministry of Culture work together in a very good way to make sure that cultural objects that are in the Netherlands but that belong in Indonesia because they were originally from here can return. And this cooperation, you mentioned the recent repatriation of 288 objects like cuirasses and statues and all kinds of different objects from Java, from Bali, from Lombok and other places. But there's much more. Already this was the third batch, so the two batches before that all added up. I think it's more than 800 objects already, and there's more coming. So there's still in the Netherlands in certain collections objects that belong here, and we're working on it, making sure that when there's a request from Indonesia for it to be returned, we make sure it happens as soon as possible.
The Netherlands has returned hundreds of artifacts to Indonesia as part of its repatriation efforts, including 288 artifacts that were repatriated in 2024. This return is part of the repatriation agreement agreed between Indonesia and the Netherlands in 2017. Director General of Culture of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Hilmar Farid, who oversaw the repatriation of 288 historical Indonesian artifacts from the Netherlands in 2024, emphasized that the efforts was a form of restoration and preservation of national identity.
Indonesia and India are strengthening digital ties through cooperation in 5G and artificial intelligence. Amasiti covers the report.
Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, met with Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Sandeep Chakravorty, in Jakarta on Tuesday to discuss expanding cooperation in 5G and artificial intelligence, or AI. The meeting follows a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, signed in January 2025 during President Prabowo Subianto's visit to India. It is a key step in strengthening digital ties between the two countries. Mr. Mutia said the partnership reflects Indonesia's independent foreign policy, supporting cooperation without aligning to global powers.
Indonesia's active foreign policy allows us to take a flexible and strategic approach to building global partnerships. And of course, we're engaging with India, especially through your esteemed companies, TCS and such as Netflix. We're able to strengthen international collaboration while remaining aligned with our national interests. That's of course, the highlights of the partnership that we're hoping to get also with TCS and India is to also highlight our national interests.
Mutia also stressed the importance of building inclusive, diverse AI technologies, not dominated by just a few countries. At the same time, Ambassador Chakravorty welcomed the momentum and confirmed that a separate agreement on telecom cooperation is also in progress.
It's a delight to be back here within 3-4 months since our last meeting in January before the visit of the President to India, where we signed the digital cooperation MOU. MOU on telecom cooperation is also in the works, and we hope to conclude it soon. So with that, the G2G framework for cooperation in digital and telecommunication, basically the areas that you cover as Minister will be covered, so that will provide the basis and the framework for cooperation.
The MOU covers cooperation in AI, the Internet of Things, or IoT, and the development of digital infrastructure, paving the way for a long-term partnership. fighting for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia sharpens artificial intelligence regulations to address risk and foster innovation. Amir Ramdhani has the detail.
The Indonesian government is working to strengthen regulations around artificial intelligence AI to keep up with the fast-paced global development of the technology. Deputy Minister of Communication and Digital Nezar Satria spoke in Jakarta on Tuesday after a coordination meeting on preparing skilled human resources for AI development. He emphasized that the goal is not to limit innovation, but to manage potential risk arising from AI advancement.
Untuk menajamkan regulasi.
We have agreed to sharpen the regulations in response to the dynamic global AI development. The first step might be a presidential regulation to regulate AI development across sectors. We don't want regulations that stifle innovation, but we need to address the risks associated with AI's development and applications. Nezar also highlighted the government's commitment to enhancing digital infrastructure and talent, aiming to make Indonesia a hub for global AI development.
Listener, that's our highlights of the week. Let's do our interview on Voi Talk with Chico Hindato, jazz concert promoter hosted by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally what I mentioned before, I promise you that it seems that we are going to interview. I mean, it's a special program that we have also an interview with. You know, this is also related to jazz, listener. But you know that jazz is a distinctively American music genre characterized by improvisation, syncopated rhythms, and polyphonic ensemble playing. And you know, many people like jazz music not only in America, but also in many countries, including Indonesia. But it's listener, for a group of music, jazz, I mean, they also need promoter to introduce it to many people. And related to this, we are going to interview jazz concert promoter, Bapak Chico Hindarto. Pak Chico, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
With me, Bapak Faisal. With Faisal, Pak Chico.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing, Pak Chico?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Jolly, thank you for your time, attention to join our special interview today, Pak Chico.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is really interesting to know much more about jazz and even you as a concert promoter, Pak Chico. Actually, before you are as a promoter, Pak Chico, actually, since when did you like jazz music, actually?
Actually, the music began when my parents played music through the vinyl, and also cassette, yeah, when I was a kid. Mostly music, but at the beginning, I listened to the pop music, especially the Beatles, okay. Yeah, then Carpenters, Berbakara, and also jazz in this case, when I was in high school, yeah, so I listened to jazz. And then I entering jazz, actually not from jazz, pure jazz, but I entering jazz from the fusion. At the time, I listened to music such as Flight Weather Report, listened to Forever, Mouthpiece Orchestra, that kind of music. So it's more like a jazz rock in terms of. And then after that, I listened more music when I was in high school and university. That's at the beginning why I like jazz.
So those really influence, yeah?
Yes.
You yourself to be as a player, right? Okay, Pak Chico, actually, I believe that besides being as a promoter of a jazz concert, I believe that you have also such maybe favorite jazz player, Pak Chico. Do you have it?
Yeah, it's a span, really, not only one artist. Okay. Okay. When I listen to them, for example, like in the beginning, I love Weather Report, Chico Electric Band, and in the period when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then I like Pepper Feeling Group, also like currently Death Metal, and also the current groups like Double Penguin, Mama Hands, that kind of music. So, but still, I listen to the old records as well, like Miles Davis, and then Coltrane, and then Bossa Nova also. The very first one, if I have to choose, maybe I choose Weather Report, the group from Joe Zawinul and then Shorter. So it's, they, of course, the best album that for me is Heavy Weather, the album by them. So, yeah, it's their masterpiece, yeah?
Yes. So, okay, before we talk about that, Pak Chico, actually, I believe that jazz can also give such good impact on you during your life. Is it correct, Pak Chico? Can you tell about us?
Yeah, okay, so what happened is I listened to jazz when I was in high school, and then when I was in university, I support as a committee for the Jazz Gusuk Campus. Okay. I think it's the oldest festival jazz in Indonesia. It's, I think the first one was in 1977, so I was in University of Indonesia in Jazz Gusuk Campus at the time. I was a committee, and then I helped for like several years. And then the other thing is the condition in the 1980s, there was a live music contest by Yamaha. At the time, the winner was Krakatau, Indonesian, that kind of music. And then, the big, I think the international one was the Jack Jazz 1980. It's also a trigger to listen more about the music. And then the good things about the Jack Jazz that I, as far as I remember, I think they only featured two main artists. The rest was unknown groups at the period. But I believe that the committee of Jack Jazz was together with a cultural center and also embassies. So there are groups from Poland, from Brazil, from different stuff. For me, listening to jazz is not only listening to the music that I know, but sometimes we also need to have exploration. So new music, new artists, new talents, and jazz for me is not only music, it's also an attitude. So we have an open-minded. Yeah, so instead of, because it's different like pop music, you want to listen to the music that you know, right? You can sing along. But jazz mostly instrumentals. They also have jazz vocal also, right? So we can sing along. However, when I listen to instrumental, they're more like a canvas when you express yourself in the painting, for example, with the color, with the tones, with the mixture of colors, and then also the theme and stuff and stuff. So for me, listening to jazz is exploration, not only because there are two parts of music that I believe is important. The first one is entertain, because you need to be entertained. The second one is appreciation, so you get something new. So even like, also in the current condition, if I go to a festival, jazz festival, or jazz concert, I don't think I need to know the complete songs. So I attend the concert, I attend the festival, explore to get more music for my dictionary in this case. Yeah, so I think that's the attitude to listen to jazz, not only to listen to what you like, but you also explore to new things. Even like me myself, I have a playlist from the streaming. Well, every month I have a new playlist with a new artist, with new latest releases, just to update about jazz music in the world. In one way, the streaming, now we can listen to music from all over the world, from every corner of the world. So I can listen to music from Norway, I can listen to music from Paraguay, I can listen to music from Switzerland, for example, so from India.
from anywhere. So I make like 15 songs playlist with new artists that I never known before. So I think it's a good thing. So, yeah, for me, listening just an attitude, not only listening to music as a genre.
Okay, but particularly mostly players of just music, I mean players, and usually by using saxophone, a musical instrument.
Not really, because when I promote group for the first time in 1991. Yeah, it was a group, a fusion group at the time. It's a Spyro Gyra, yeah, they're based on saxophone, but the group also has the other solo instrumentalists, for example, like the vibraphones.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second group that I promote at the time is Eddie Daniels. Eddie Daniels played clarinet with Gary Burton, his vibraphone also. So, yeah, jazz, the saxophone is like the close to jazz, but because maybe the most of the, many, not all, but many jazz icons play saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
However, some also play the trumpets. Miles Davis play trumpet, right? And then some play piano, like Bill Evans, Chico Rea, Bernardo, play piano, Keith Jarrett play piano. Some play guitar, like Julian Lash, Pat Metheny, what else? The, a lot of guitarists, good guitarists, like the old one also, like, what's called the, a guitarist like Amy Burrell, for example. So, I think, it's a simplify, jazz, but actually jazz is richer than just a saxophone as an instrument.
Wow.
And just, I believe it's an interaction, actually, between the players. If you have the, if a group, they have, like, an interaction, so, yeah, ideally, a jazz performance will be slightly different from one performance to another. So, let's say one group, they perform today, and tomorrow they perform, they'll have a different approach.
Yes, of course.
Depends on their mood, it depends on their conversation, musical conversation between them, for example. So, I think this is important in jazz, yeah. So, not only the audience, not only see the music or performance, but they also engage. So, I think audience is also important aspect in jazz, because it's an interaction between the musician and musicians, between musician, yeah, and then between musician and the audience.
Okay, so far, Patrick, actually, what is the biggest challenge here to be a jazz concert promoter?
Okay, first thing first, promoters in the music business is the most risky business compared to others. Yeah, as manager or as a booking agent, as the recording, yeah, promoters is the most risk, has the most risk compared to other business. That's the first thing. So in Indonesia, I believe that promoters also face the same problem, not only jazz, but every promoter has the same problem, about the permit. Doing a concert in Indonesia is quite tough. For the permit, we have to fulfill a lot of requirements to do a permit, I mean, to do the concert or the festivals, yeah. And then the other thing is, for jazz specifically, is the audience is very limited. So, one of the objectives for promoters and the festival organizers is to develop established audience, especially the new audience, the young people.
Mm.
Because young people, jazz is not old, jazz is always progressing. They have another progression. So in the team, in the style, okay, so jazz is a very flexible genre that can merge with other genres. So I think that's why one of the big homework for jazz promoters and jazz festival organizers is not to create only the event, but also the audience and also of course, the young talents. The young talents are especially for local young talents, jazz musicians also.
Okay,
Patiko,
based on many observation, yeah, your life as jazz promoter, is it easier for someone, for music player, especially for rock music player and even pop music player, when they want to change in their genre to be jazz, is it easier?
Okay, so once in my life, I support education, agitation. Yeah, I'm a lecturer, but mostly for management, yeah, for business, for MM school, graduate school. Once in my life, I involved in the music school.
Mm.
Okay, and then I discussed with the teacher there, and then they advise people play jazz, not because they become jazz performers, because for the basic music, you have to study classical.
Mm.
You know the basic of the music. But for the modern music, it's advisable that you also learn jazz. You're not necessarily to play jazz, but musicians with a jazz background, they can more flexible to
okay.
play other music. A lot of musicians that have, for example, like, who else? I mean, in the, for example, Sting for the Police. Yeah, you know Sting, I mean, he's old guy, though. He plays jazz. Yeah, so that's why a group like, I don't know whether the Gen Z still know the Police, but the Police is a kind of trio, a pop trio, but they have a mindset of jazz mindset, because the guitar player also play jazz, the bass player also play jazz, but they play pop, and when we play that music is not easy, although they're only trio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a richer. So that's the thing. I didn't say that jazz is the best, but jazz is the way to play modern music.
Okay.
If you want to have a play modern music, it's a pop, rock, or, like, for example, the basis of Metallica, yeah, or the basis of Red Hot Chili Peppers, they also have, they came to go to jazz. Not because they want to be jazz players, but also they have more the technique there, the attitude in playing. So I think that's why people need to play jazz, not only want to be jazz musician, but they can expand their vocabulary in music.
Yes. Well, talking about business, Chico, I mean, from your own business perspective, actually, do you think that jazz can also contribute to Indonesia's economy in the future?
Okay, I'll give an example. The end of this May and June, there will be the biggest jazz festival in Indonesia. Even after the biggest in Asia is the Java Jazz Festival.
Yes.
Okay, so this year will be the 20th record, second and 20th year. So, festival is more into like the locomotive for other business. Yeah, so the music festival, bring the food, bring the fashion, clothes, bring the other business that can also, like, if you go to Java Jazz, it's not only a music festival, but they have also some business that open the booth and stuff. So, I believe in that case, this possibility is there, right? Just a week ago, I met a guy from this different story about the about festival in Australia. It's a Byron Blues, yeah, it's a small area in Australia that they have a blues festival. And then the blues festival almost closed down, yeah, because they don't get support from the local government. But local government directly support that event. Why? Because of that event, the business in that area is also developing. Same like a festival, another festival, I just give an example in Asia, because I don't really know about it. International, but I believe the form is quite the same. For example, like Jazz Mono in Bromo, when they do their festival, people around that venue also get the money.
So, how big is it? I cannot tell, yeah, because I don't know. Maybe I'm not an organizer. But I can stop two, three festivals in Indonesia that as a locomotive for other business, for other incomes. Yeah? So, Java Jazz one, and then Jazz Gunung Melayu, you know, Jazz in Jogja. So, there is a free jazz festival, but they do it in kampung. So, people in the kampung, particular kampung, will get some income, some revenue during the event. So, and also, one maybe, the, I think the one that's very 100% jazz is a jazz festival. It's all jazz musicians. There's no pop musicians. So, but, and then they have international artists from different countries. They also support the people in terms of revenue surrounding them. So, in the future, I don't think that music itself, the contribution is not that high as the culinary or what else, fashion, the creative industry. It's music. Even like, jazz should be very smaller. Yes, very small compared to the fashion, for example. Because we have, I believe, about 15 or 17 area of business creative industry. So, music is one of them, but not that big as a fashion or culinary.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Chico, can we see about the progress, I mean, or the development of jazz music players, I mean, in Indonesia especially? Actually, in what province that the jazz players are from?
I believe it's all over Indonesia now. You know the big names like Joey Alexander, the pianist that from Bali. He's from Bali. Okay, and then there's some good musician from Lampung. Yeah, Song Brothers. They're group, I believe it's Kelapa Muda. Yeah, it's a new talent. Jakarta a lot, Bandung a lot, Surabaya. I can tell you also they have a good talent. Jogja. I mean, because of the communities, just communities in the communities, not only in big cities. Because you can see just communities in Kediri, just communities in Palongan, that kind of thing. So they're everywhere. So I believe that I have a positive feeling about talent in Indonesia, because in the current way, the current condition, it's easier to find acoustic bass player, the upright bass player, compared to 1980s, for example. Everyone plays play electric, but currently we have more bass acoustic bass player. And then some instruments also has a good talent, for example, harmonica, like a Daruna, and then also the clarinet, the Eugene Bonti. So it's all in Asian, right? So they have a very prospective talents also, and then it's a happy side of jazz in Indonesia, I believe.
I like it. Chico, is it possible maybe for you, just a little bit maybe, to sing just me to me?
I'm not going to sing.
That's okay, but at least, Chico, how can you as a promoter of jazz music maybe try to influence, especially for children, actually, teenagers or adults in Indonesia, so that they are able to awake about their passion for jazz music? How is it?
Okay. Yeah, I think when I did the concert of Joey Alexander in 2022 in IFAB event called Jazz Moment, this is actually the way how I put jazz in the concert hall again, because we have a lot of festivals, but less jazz concert.
Mm-hmm.
When I did the jazz concert, one of the audience texted me and he mentioned that, is it possible that I bring my son, 9 years old, to come? Yes, for sure, sir, because the music, that jazz music is not just, once again, not just entertainment, but it's inspiration for young generation also to play that kind of music. So I believe that some of the music courses, yeah, they are like Farabi, the jazz, and also Aksan, they have like a kids class or children class. So I believe that this, establishing the musician, the talents, the audience for jazz in Indonesia is not a single person, single entities only. It's collaborative works between school, festival organizers, recording label, communities. Yeah, so it's like it's all working together. So there's no which one the best one. No, I think it's that's put in the wrong way. I'm not the best, but I believe that I have to work with networks also, because that's the way the jazz is. It's about the equality. It's about the balancing. We across the border. So it's our homework together, not only one party in this case.
Okay, so finally, let's come to final question. Chico, maybe do you have any such as expectation for the development of jazz music in Indonesia especially?
Okay, same like, because I'm a lecturer, I'm also teaching, yeah? I'm also MC. So learning, not only playing an instrument, but learning to know jazz further based on curiosity. The first step of learning is asking questions. The first step of learning is we want to explore what's new. So if you go to a festival, if you go to a concert, if you go to the event of the community, so open your mind. So my advice for young people, for everyone, even like old people, I mean, it relates to anyone. Open your mind to listen to music. Because jazz is a freedom music. So this, the range is very high. Just last week, I joined the event in Berlin, in German. So there's one good thing that maybe related to my advice. Jazz musician is not planned. So there's like a long arch, long journey. So if you go to see, for example, like if you see to go to see the musician, I just give him a name, for example, like Joey Alexander in this case. So when you see Joey Alexander in 2025, it will be different when you see him in 2027, because there's a progress. So it's not like a pop music. Pop music has a trend, right? Some will become the legend, but some just like one album done. But jazz musician is not like they have a long span of time. So the advice is that challenge yourself to listen to jazz music, and then challenge yourself to expand your music boundaries to jazz.
Alright. Thank you very much, Chico, for the time. Really full of information, full of insight about jazz. Thank you very much, Chico.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, let's move on to the next day, Chico.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Well, listeners, also viewers of Voice of America, that was our special review with Chico Himbato as jazz concert promoter.
Thank you very much for your time and attention to listen to our program. Have a nice day, have a nice weekend, and see you next time.